In our episode of Obsession, today we are obsessed with Exter because of their wallets. Their wallets are pretty damn sick. They have the Parliament wallet, which they sent us. Actually, no, I'm just gonna see. I'm too tired. Like, I'm like, I can't think four steps ahead, you know, which I usually can.
I mean, I could do it if you want.
Obsession is the word that comes up when I think of Exter. Exter is the sickest brand for people that like to live life on the go. You should check them out at Exter.com because they have things like the wallet, the Parliament wallet. They have the six-card holder wallet as well.
Premium leather.
So sick.
I think of them as a sophisticated brand, so
yeah.
Proper.
And then the card holder is also one of my favorites because it holds my daily cards. And on the back, you can fit one of their trackers in there, so you'll never lose it. If you do, you know exactly where it is. Find that guy. Go ahead and check them out. I think they make the perfect gift for any spouse, husband, grandfather, really anyone. Anyone that likes accessories. They also have cool things like the duffel bag. They also have the grid backpack that fills all it gets filled with all kinds of electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Your laptop, pretty much anything, any gear of any sort.
Yeah. Use code 2AM for some savings there. Support the podcast as well.
Yes, please.
Next up, one of my favorites, ButcherBox.
ButcherBox.
I think we all understand the importance of high quality meat.
Oh, we do.
Whether it's salmon, beef, chicken. I think it's one of the best companies out there, especially considering that they just send a box full of high quality meat to your door.
Oh yeah, and the display.
Yeah, so get yourself some protein, high quality protein. Use code 2AM podcast in all caps for some savings and some free meat with every box for a year as well.
Cool. Also, if you like to eat meat, I'm pretty sure you're a coffee drinker as well. And if you haven't heard, Rare Bird is the new and up-and-coming brand, pretty much, that we run to when it comes to coffee. The reason why we use it is because it is a paraxanthine coffee. I mean, they do have normal coffee, but paraxanthine is basically the metabolite of caffeine, meaning that you don't get the crazy jitters, you don't have the unfortunate staying up all night effect.
Crawling out of your skin?
Yeah.
It's a common symptom for people.
That's pretty nasty. So go ahead and avoid that and start drinking Rare Bird today. Use code 2AM and visit rarebird.coffee to get that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Welcome to another exhausting episode here at the 2AM headquarters. Basically, this tiny-ass studio.
We are truly exhausted.
Dude, I mean, tomorrow's Ramadan, so that's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to that. It's a pretty wise month, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what human you'll turn into at the end of it, but it's pretty cool. It's a nice little journey. No eating for 30 days from sunrise to sunset. And yes, that includes water. I know. Crazy, right?
It's rough, but, you know, you get a lot of health benefits out of it.
Yeah. I mean, your primary focus during that month is literally optimization for your body to get you able to survive the next day. So that means hydration, if you need to supplement, protein intake, whatever, all that, you know? And you need to cut the bullshit. So,
did you see Aboud's post?
The one about, like, the guide on to how to do Ramadan correctly.
Well, that's not a fantastic one.
Not the religious aspect, but, like, to optimize your body, right?
Yeah, that's a fantastic, like, just overall guide for anyone who is going to be doing Ramadan. But I'm referring to actually a study. It was the first study of its kind on the Ramadan-type fasting.
Okay.
Like, the way it's approached, no water, no food. And across the board, you just see overall health improvements from body composition to blood work. It's pretty incredible, so it's nice to see some science to also back it up.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I think fasting as a whole is pretty cool. Do you think someone could get obsessed with it?
Speaking of obsession.
No. Do you think someone could get obsessed with fasting?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I know you were for a while.
No, people can take it too far. What people don't think about is that fasting is a stressor on the body.
900-day fast. Live-streamed.
Basically turn into an atom.
That today?
Turn into a mitochondria, bro.
What the hell is this, bro? You fasted so long, you got rid of cancer and gained it back. That's full 360. Yeah, we're not making fun of cancer, but I think that was a funny joke.
Yeah. We're going to be very lucid in this episode.
It's going to be impressive, honestly, to say the least.
Yeah, but let's get into this. I mean, the whole obsession thing, we were having a discussion prior to hitting the record button.
Yeah.
What is your whole idea around it that you were talking to me about? We honestly had a disagreement.
What did we bring up? Okay, so I was out here, right, just setting up, doing my thing to get this episode going, pretty much. And then Zaid goes up, and he says, yo, do you have a Zin? I'm like, yeah. So then I hand him one. And he's like, you know what, dude? I think I'm going to do the whole buy one can a month thing. Because I know myself and I have an obsessive personality. To which I replied, I don't think there is a type of personality where you are obsessive. You know, I think that obsession comes in within your line, right? Like what things mean to you. Like there's a, how do I even explain this? You can define your life on a line, right? And then there's certain things that you could be obsessed about that maybe I might not relate. But I also have my own obsessions that you might not relate to, right?
Yeah.
And to some people, it could be health, wellness, fitness, right? You're obsessed with that kind of stuff. So let's just say, like, you actually look forward to your BCAA. Like, you find flavor in it, you know? And you can't live a day without it. Like,
you're like, bro, I can't wait to get these amino acids in me.
Yeah. Like, you feel some type of way about it, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is using part of your senses to kind of just like hover over it. Like your life is less meaningful if you don't have it, you know? Which to what you said, I basically said, well, I don't expect you to be obsessed with cameras, for example, right? Which kind of had you like thinking like,
Yeah, it was a really good point because, first of all, I do believe that there are personalities that are obsessive for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to become obsessed with every single thing that you do or think about. But in general, if you look at somebody such as myself, in a lot of things that I do, I'm just obsessive.
Yeah.
Like, I work 24/7. Like, any free time I have, I work. I'm obsessed with certain things within the health and wellness area. With any drug, I only consume caffeine and nicotine for the most part. In general, my use of those compounds has been obsessive.
Yeah.
So there are some people who focus on like one thing and they are actually obsessed with it. I think in general you can say that.
Okay. I remember now. My argument was that you're basically like, it was to your Zin. I responded to your Zin thing and I said, well, I feel like a lot of us, or not a lot of us, like because this is within myself too, is that I'd rather have control of things than things control me, right? Which is why, like, I try to stay away from obsession when it comes to substance or whatever. Which is why I quit things like vaping, smoking, that kind of stuff, right? I'm like, dude, I've used my lungs way too much for stuff that I don't need, right? And then I'm like, remember what I responded to? I was like, then I think it's just a calling to tell yourself not to be that part of you, not to be a little bit, like, there's still a hint of you're a little bitch, you know? In there.
Like you're too identified with it.
Yeah, you're too identified with it. And it's like, I think it takes more, maybe work on your discipline more in that regard. So it's like, why does the can of Zin control you? Like, why does it make you obsessed with it? You know what I mean? Can't you just like turn your brain the other way, like the dial? Just be like, no, I'm good, you know, or whatever.
Well, here's the interesting part of that. I think there's a spectrum of obsessions. Mm-hmm. So with the Zin, it's actually almost effortless for me to cut out. Like before the pouch that you gave me, I was on like 13 days of no Zins.
Yeah. So do you have like does it control you visually? Like, you know, it's there. So it's like, you'll just run through it.
Yeah. Like the idea of having one Zin in the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
It's foreign to me.
Dang. Do you remember our episode on how to stop vaping?
Our most popular episode. Yeah. on audio, by the way.
Remember how I was mentioning that the way I did it was I knew it was there, but that's the part I worked on. It's like, don't reach for it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling, you're like referencing to your brain that this is a habitual thing. This is a, leave it there just in case, but go as long as you can. It's kind of like fasting. Go as long as you can without reaching for it or taking a hit or whatever. But also recognize that anxiety, fear of I want to hit it and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's keeping me from attaching to it right now is myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the control. That's why I'm like, I want to practice that discipline, like a muscle, you know, where it's like, I'm going to shut everything out. I don't care if it's right here. I don't care if it's in my hand. I'm not going to hit it.
Well, dude, remember what Abud talked about?
How hard is that?
Remember what Abud talked about on our previous episode with him, the forebrain.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah.
When it comes to training or doing anything, you're basically overriding your subconscious mm-hmm. or your desires and bringing your conscious to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And then you train your forebrain.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Like people that go to the gym for a little bit and then quit and go to the gym for a little bit and then quit. The best advice that I've heard was just get used to going, like just arriving at the gym, just go inside,
mm-hmm.
right? Slowly start upping that. So like after just getting used to going to the gym and then you just hit the sauna, you didn't really do any exercise or any lifting or any training. You just simply went from point A to point B. You went to the gym, right? Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks later, once you start to feel like you're giving up, recognize that you're giving up and then hit the treadmill. It's a little bit more work, right?
Yeah.
And now do that consistently. And now you've trained yourself to do two things. Don't miss out on going to the gym. So you're driving there physically or walking there, whatever. And you're hitting the treadmill, right? Now, when you hit the treadmill, do 20 minutes. Next time, in a couple of weeks. Like, just get used to doing 20 minutes all the time.
Yeah, it's just building that forebrain muscle.
You're building that. That's exactly what I'm saying. But the part that pissed me off about, like, quitting, like, legit, is that you know. You're not a dumbass. You're not an idiot, right? But having it there and refusing to do anything about it, like, hit it or whatever, or just committing, it's almost like you're becoming resilient, too. Picking things up and just like doing it just because.
What would you say to, I mean, the whole concept of willpower, this idea that as the day goes on, you have decision fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea that you run out of willpower is something that's very popular. So do you think you can constantly fight yourself throughout the day, even if it's just a little bit of a nag, like, I could have one.
Yeah.
Why don't I have one?
I could, because I've seen the other side.
Yeah.
Where the human body is amazing at adapting, right? You've just adapted to that style of thinking, of reliability on things like substance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you look at substance as not a substance anymore? Like, it's just like celery, you know? I rarely have celery, but when I do, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't think to go to Whole Foods, pick up some celery, dip it in ranch and eat it. You know what I mean?
I do agree with you. I think it's completely possible.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not trying to discount
100%.
That. But going back to, like, the spectrum of obsessions.
Obsessions.
What if I were to tell you to never, to never think about cinematography ever again? There is 0% chance that that is happening
for
you.
0%?
0%.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to not think about it. But I go on long runs of not touching cameras.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Because like, with health, I don't experience any of that, dude.
To anyone that's been listening to us forever, like, I really mean balance. You know what I mean? Like, I naturally go through phases because I think my obsession is actually thinking about all these obsessions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like, I'm very self-conscious about my habits all the time. Like, I judge them, you know what I mean? Like, I go, is this correct? Like, you know, what do I have anything that I'm currently obsessed with? Do I need to tone it down? I don't know. But then I realize that's another obsession. It's just thinking about it, you know?
I don't know how you can step away from cameras, to be honest, because I always had this idea in at least in my mind,
yeah,
that it was like,
yeah, you'll see it like on my phone. I'll go through like I'll just scroll up on my photos album, and then you'll see like there was a period where I was like taking like photos by the minute, bro. You know what I mean? Every single day, months on end, right? And all of a sudden, like there's a dead cap from like November through January. Like three photos. One is my cat. The other one's like, it's like, you know what I mean?
That's interesting. I don't know if I could do that with health. Because like it has so much gravity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that I just consciously choose to do.
Yeah.
It's something that I gravitate towards naturally.
Well, remember my argument earlier. I said, if that's the case, then everyone has an obsession.
Yeah, like I think everyone has a
personality, you know?
Well, I don't think everyone has an obsessive personality. So again, that's where I differ.
Why?
Because in general, if you look at certain people, they tend to be obsessed with more things than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the population, let's say, has one obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who truly has an obsessive personality has 10. If they get into something, they're more likely to be obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I kind of
But differ. That thing has to philosophically line up with who they are. You know what I mean?
It does.
But that's what I'm saying. So take this back. Even the obsession, like let's just say someone that doesn't do any physical obsession stuff, right? They can have the obsession of judging people in their head. They can have the obsession of thinking about random things like how self-conscious they are or whatever. Or thinking about their death. I don't know, like whatever. But it could be in their head. That's what I'm saying. Thinking could also be an obsession. Does that make us all? I think that's the question. Is that I'm going towards, I think obsession, I think everyone has an obsessive personality in that sense. But it's just in different genres.
You know what? That makes sense to me. I think you've convinced me, actually.
See?
I think you've convinced me, actually.
Bro. There's things we can't see. Like,
yeah. Because like, if I think about it, I'm never going to become obsessed with math. Like, I just don't give a shit.
I've convinced him. Yes.
There are things that I'm more likely to be obsessed with. Like if I wanted to take up Italian as a new language,
yeah,
I can very easily become obsessed with Duolingo because I see the value in that.
Yeah.
Like math or something else that I don't really care about. I mean.
There you go. Like for right now, for example.
Okay? Yeah.
I took a little bit of a vacation from like photography, and instead of photographing everything, I only photograph like certain moments that I like either see or it calls to me or whatever. But now I've been obsessed with improving myself, my education, my experiences, just widen my knowledge. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like that's why I think we're all technically obsessive. It's because of that. It's because we're always looking for like, how can I better myself?
Yeah.
You know, which I hope, honestly. That's how you become a better human and a more achieving type of person, you know? You always want to do good things. Like who doesn't want to be successful? You know what I mean? In order to be successful, you got to achieve certain things.
Mm-hmm. I will say, you have convinced me, actually.
There you go.
So, might be the first time on the pod.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. And like I said, I could be obsessed about the things we call obsessions, like watching movies, or I love TV shows, or I love archery, right? And then you can completely take a break, and you'd be obsessed with, like, bettering yourself and health and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, some people are defined by, like, oh, they're just, like, obsessed with Star Wars. And I think that's like a really good example.
Yeah.
Because you'll see that. It's like fandom. And they'll go every single year for the rest of their lives cosplaying and like doing all this crap when the movies were made a million years ago, you know?
A million light years ago.
But it's just like they're obsessed with this like mythical world of Star Wars. We don't have to understand it, but like we can clearly see there's an obsession here, right?
Yeah.
But I think we call obsession just that thing that you just see. When in reality, it could be anything. It could be like just a personality, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there you go, guys. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I like that subject.
Pretty sick, huh?
I have one myself.
What is it?
Shout out to Guru Anaerobic on Twitter.
Guru Anaerobic?
Amazing account. Okay. I mean, this guy's like in his 50s, jacked.
Sick.
He can do what most 20-year-olds today can't do.
You hear that?
I don't know if this is from his book. I think he has a couple ebooks, but this is called Self-Checkout.
Okay, nice.
Self-checkouts are IQ tests. Look at the average person, unable to identify when a checkout is free and unable to scan and pack their three items in under 5 minutes. Mm. Their brains are working at 1/10 speed. Steer clear of these people and all of their friends. If you don't, something bad will happen to you. A random event, which they are responsible for without realizing, will end up with your decapitation or worse. You need to protect yourself from people who fail the self-checkout test. That is 50% of humanity minimum.
Damn.
And what came to mind is that this is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to any store and there's self-checkout, you know, aisles open,
mm-hmm.
most of the people will actually wait in line.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they have like 4 or 5 things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've seen otherwise, let me know. But
so you're saying like if there's a longer line in self-checkout and then the shorter lines and just like the person helping you, people would rather stand in line for self-checkout?
I've actually seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Time and time again.
I've seen that at Walmart all the time. Granted, they mostly have self-checkout now, but...
Yeah. It was just crazy to me because I do think it is actually an IQ test or at least an awareness test.
Mm. I prefer... I mean, this is my personality. I prefer like knocking on the door of question marks and being like, oh, let's see what this engagement's about. So like I'd like for someone to help me just so we can have a good conversation.
Mm.
Sometimes they're not willing to. Like I'd be like, hey, how's it going? They're like, good. Deep. Deep, you know, like
beep.
They don't care. But there's other people that are like, oh my God, that's a lot of cat food. What's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm buying for the month. They're like, ah, ha, ha, that's what I figured, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she'll scan something else and be like, oh, are these good? I'm thinking about picking these up. Have you tried them? I'm like, yeah, I've tried them. I get them all the time. Oh, dang. Oh my God, my daughter's going to love these. Like, ah, ha, ha. You know, like it's a good interaction. But I look mm-hmm. forward to that kind of stuff.
So yeah, like, it's always cool.
So like screw self-checkout. You know, I already check myself out enough.
But that's like...
So it is an IQ test form.
What's more interesting to me about this is just, I mean, this one line, their brains are working at 1/10 speed. Like, in my opinion, I really do think that most of the people I come across are extremely slow in what they do. Like, there's no sense of urgency. Or at the very least, they're not even, like, maintaining normal speed.
Mm. They don't think of...
Like, when a dude walks into a grocery store, spends 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But when I walk into a grocery store, I want to get in and out as quickly as possible.
You're like, boop, boop,
boop. Yeah, like I don't want to spend time in the grocery store.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that when it's like midday. If I'm taking the time off to go shop or do something like that, yeah, sure, I'll take my time. Even if I took my time, it would be less than an hour.
Well, I guarantee you, you're not spending an hour at the grocery store, bro.
No. I know some people that go to like Abercrombie and they'll sit there for like an hour and a half, like trying things. I'm like, dude, come on, bro. You don't know your size. You don't know this, you know? You can kind of, you know, you usually walk into a place knowing what you need and what you want, you know? But
then again, I'm trying to poke holes in my
idea
here because if I, like in Southern California, if you're on the road, there's a lot of people who drive fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, the pace on the road is just faster than most other places.
Well, I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think it's the same thing. Like, it's not.
I don't think it's either,
to be honest. They're saving 2 minutes, 1 minute. Like,
it can be a bad thing.
Shit. I'd rather just be chilling, you know? I look at it as a time for me to enjoy my music and just mm-hmm. kick back. You know, driving's already a pain, so.
Yeah.
In this state, bro, long roads. Interesting.
Hmm.
IQ test, huh?
Very interesting.
But people are slower these days. I think one thing I thought of was when I used to cashier, I would think about like multiplying the amount of customers, you know? Okay, so like if I get 3 people that have like 2 items and then there's 3 people coming up next with like 2 shopping carts full of stuff. how fast do I need to work for it to make to for me to make the line seem like it's moving quick and not take up everybody's time? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a sense of urgency, which you brought up, where you start to think about that, you know?
Or efficiency, which is basically the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking about the customer shopping experience, which I don't know, to some people, probably that's stupid. Like, who cares about the customer, you know? But to me, it's like, that's kind of how it is. Like, why don't we make their time pleasant? I don't know what the, I don't know who the hell they are. They could be an H&R lady.
Yeah.
H&R block guy or whatever, you know? Who knows what their life is like? Maybe they're working fucking 7 days a week and then they finally have their day off. Let me just make it pleasant, you know? Why do I have to make it difficult and long? And is there a way for me to make it easier? That's how I think. But I think I know what you're talking about. It's like you come across a lot of these workers or shoppers or whatever where they're just taking their sweet ass time. And then you're like, I thought Costco was quicker before. What happened, dude? You know? I don't know.
It's kind of like I don't know. It's the dividing line between people who are like more aware versus those who are more unconscious.
Yeah, it seems like you're saying it's a humanity issue. Like it's a humanity, like we're in the subconscious too much type of thing where we're not really.
We're just too mindless, dude.
We're in the zone now where it's like it's me and my family only, you know, like it's all I care about. And we obviously saw that after COVID or during COVID.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what did it in. But yeah, I think it is just a human nature thing.
Crazy.
Different personalities.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of the difference between a road, street, avenue? Like what the hell they are? People ask me that all the time.
A road, a street, and an avenue?
Yeah, like if you see like Lambert Road or Imperial Highway or Lance Street. Like, aren't they all, people go, aren't they all roads? Like, what differentiates a road from an avenue?
I think a road is just one road leading to one destination for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
A street.
What makes it a lane? You know what I'm saying? Like,
bro. What makes it an avenue?
See?
Because you have multiple avenues to travel?
Yeah, I had someone ask me that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not too sure, but I can kind of visually explain it, but it's like, what is
that's
the
that's a good
real
point. Evidence? You can visually explain it, but you can't really like verbally
a road,
explain it.
To me, just makes sense. It's just a stretch of road that most likely doesn't have turns.
Like, you know when you're going to Joshua Tree, it's just straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a road, in my opinion.
So we got the definitions here. All right, so for anyone that's wondering, just like I was, and most other people that I know of, a road is anything that links two points, the most basic of public ways. There are many types of roads as described.
Huh.
And these descriptions are pretty much like a long stretch of road. I get like the ground is road, you know? But we're talking about like, I don't know, Culver Road.
Okay.
For example. All right. And then we have a street. A street is, visually speaking, where buses stop. So if you can visualize bus stops on the street you're driving on,
okay, that's interesting.
That's a street. So a public road that connects two points but also has buildings on both sides of it, these typically run perpendicular to avenues.
Mm. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. So which gives me the conclusion of an avenue is probably like an entrance to a neighborhood.
I'm not sure. I couldn't give you an answer, but okay. I would assume so.
A public way. So an avenue is a public way that also has buildings and or trees on both sides. These run perpendicular to streets and are traditionally wider.
Where do these words come from?
That's a good question.
Like, did the Romans come up with these words?
I don't know.
I mean, surely.
I'll look that up next. But then we have boulevard.
Oh, what the hell is a boulevard?
A boulevard is a very wide street with buildings and or trees on both sides, usually with a median in the middle of the lanes.
Mm.
So think of our famous beach boulevard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can see that. There's a median in the center the whole way, pretty much.
So is it mainly referring to size?
I think it's size and what kind of layout? Location. Yeah, yeah. Like, what kind of layout is on both sides?
Yeah.
So is it buildings, trees, houses, residential, you know, like that kind of stuff? A lane. A lane is a, can you picture it?
It's pretty self-explanatory.
One lane? Yeah. Narrow street that may not have a median, opposite of boulevard. So we had boulevard, which was a very wide street, and then we have a lane, which is just a lane. You know.
Is that it? So boulevard, avenue, road.
No, we still have drive.
Oh, drive. Okay.
All right. A drive is a, see, remember what I said, long stretch of road, usually doesn't have turns. A drive is a long winding road, often shaped by its surroundings. So it could be positioned to weave along a lake, mountain, or even around a country club golf course.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it feels helpful to know.
It does.
Yeah.
You know that moment when you say a word so many times? Mm-hmm. Like road.
Yeah.
Road. 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 It kind of fucks your mind up.
Oh my God. It's Queen Road.
Like, you almost see the absurdity of language.
Yeah.
Like, who came up with this vowel in this specific way?
The word that trips me out the most is spoon.
You want a spoon?
It's like, can you imagine you're chilling in a cave? Unga bunga, unga bunga. Right?
Spoon.
And you're just like, oh, spoon. Like, where does spoon come from, you know? Does it look like a spoon, you know? We don't know.
No, see, that's and I get that quite often, too.
Yeah. Anyway, we still have court.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. You've never seen court? CT?
Courtyard.
Yeah. Court, road, or street that ends in a cul-de-sac or loop.
Okay.
So, no exit, I think. You exit the way you came in.
Hmm.
Away. Way is a small side street connected to a larger road, typically in a residential neighborhood.
Hmm.
Mm, makes a lot of sense right there. Now that you've harnessed with a great deal of navigational knowledge, you can feign an air of confidence, finally, even if you're just directionally challenged as before. That's what we like to call faking it until you make it.
Wait, they call people who don't know this stuff directionally challenged?
Yeah. Like, some people believe that they have no sense of direction. I've heard that.
What does that
so
have to
much.
Do with boulevard and road and lane and?
I have no clue, but I think it's just because it's through the directional whatever. You know, like, okay, back in the day, you have to think like back in the day.
Okay. All
right. How did you give people directions? This is coming
usually,
from my peers.
Back in the day, or how far back in the day?
Like when people printed out MapQuest papers of directions, word by word. Like, there's no actual navigation unless you had a GPS system. You know?
I mean, usually by town or city or...
Like, if someone said, okay, like, you know that they are in San Bernardino, and you're trying to get them to come to Garden Grove, right? To this place called Furai Wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the fuck they would drive to San Bernardino, but it must be a birthday or something. And then you told them, all right, hop on the 215...
Okay, so you just...
215 is going to take you to the 91 West. And the 91 West, you're going to exit the 55 North, and you're going to take the 55 North to the 22 West. And then from there, you're going to take exit Magnolia, all right? And then you're going to turn left, and then you're going to pass In-N-Out. Once you pass In-N-Out, it's immediately on your left. You're going to turn left, that's Magnolia. You go straight for 2 miles or so... Until you see a KFC, and then you turn right, you know?
Isn't it funny that all of that shit went right over my head?
Yeah, exactly. And then once you hit 2 stop signs, you're going to find a Taco Bell. When you see the Taco Bell, it's going to be the next signal, make a right. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. That's kind of how you
it's
give
like,
directions.
You know, I hung out with my grandparents, sisters, nephews, whatever.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
So it's like that, but that's how people understood. So it's like, oh, okay. So they'll start remembering those words. And it's like, okay, we passed the 2 stop signs, and then there's the Taco Bell. He said it's the second entrance. Okay, second entrance. Boom. Look for his house number. 12486. 124. Oh, there it is. Okay. Make a U-turn. Park. That's it.
Maybe we're all directionally challenged because of the introduction of GPS and maps.
Yeah. But while you're doing that, Do you know what west, east, north, south is? Like, you still have to know that.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, how many people?
Yeah. For some people, they go to a new place for the first time, right? Let's just say South Coast Plaza. And they're driving from Brea, let's just say. Okay. They printed directions for one way. But then once they get there, they spend time there and they had fun, whatever. And then they go to leave and they're like, when I exit, do I make a left or right? Where else? You know? Like, do you know where you are, technically? That's directional challenge.
Right yeah. There.
Like, I think...
The yeah, entrance, I think I am directionally yeah, challenged.
Something like that.
Because I usually use landmarks.
Yeah, can you get out of where you are without using GPS? Pretty much.
Even cross streets go over my head.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
I remember as a kid, my mom would drive me everywhere, and I would pay attention to, like, exactly... Like, first of all, like, at young age, visually. Not street names or anything like that. And then I grew up a little bit, and then I was like, okay, now I'm paying attention to, like, we always are on Magnolia for some reason, mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, where does Magnolia go? Oh, it turns out it goes to the beach. That's insane. Oh, and it goes all the way back down the other way, too, to the hills? Nice. Didn't know that. So, like, you start becoming, like, that's when you memorize street names.
Mm.
And then as I got older and started driving, I'm like, I'm just familiar with all these. Like, I know on which side of Magnolia is going west or east. Like, I just know.
I've had so much experience with it.
Yeah, so then I just have awareness. Same thing, I tested it really when I started going to L.A. And coming out of downtown, like, you just know. Like, okay, Olive Street left is going to take me to the 10, and then right is going to take me to the 101. Great. That's it.
Mm.
You just start, like, I didn't even know where the sense of direction comes from, but you just know. Like, it's almost like you have an internal map.
Yeah, I think with the repetition and just exploring places, you just have that map in your head.
Yeah. But it's cool. We learned something today.
Try not using your GPS for once. Yeah.
Next time you're on an avenue, just know. Damn.
Yeah.
I know what this is now. And if you enjoyed this episode, please go rate us 5 stars on Spotify. We would love it.
Please do.
You have no idea. And we would love even more is if you supported the podcast by using any of our affiliate links in the description that we have. Use code 2AM, and then for ButcherBox, use code 2AMPODCAST, all caps. More fun, more savings. We love it. We will catch you next time, guys.
We're going to go sleep.
Yes. Bye. Peace.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.